Ecuador, Eddie and Tanya here with us this morning. Taylor Walls will give us a more formal introduction. But I want to tell you a little bit about what I know about Pastor Eddie. I was privileged to teach for a week on the doctrine of the church in Ecuador, and I met several young students and met Pastor Eddie at this event. And he invited me, a few of us, to come and stay at his home afterwards. And I got the privilege of riding on the back of a Harley Davidson behind Pastor Eddie. And I'll always remember that, going across Ecuador. I had no clue where I was going, how long it was going to take me. I said, I'm just at the mercy of Pastor Eddie to getting me where we're going. And I didn't know if it was going to be 30 minutes or 3 hours. But I know when we hit those bridges, the back of that motorcycle would come up and I would hang on for dear life. But it was a special, special time. And then he invited us into his home, and I learned a little bit about Pastor Eddie and his wife. Pastor Eddie is an ophthalmologist and studied in Dominican Republic. And while he was studying for his field, he visited a church. It was right next to the school that he was attending. And Eddie, you can correct me if I'm getting some of the details backwards or wrong. He attended a church. It was a Reformed Baptist church that he attended. And providentially by studying there, he learned the doctrines of grace. And he said it was the things that he was missing that filled in the gaps of his understanding. And it was life-changing for him. And then he moves back to Ecuador to start his practice. And maybe he was the only Reformed Baptist in the whole country of Ecuador. And he started his church. And for 12 years or maybe 10 years, Their church is celebrating their 12-year anniversary come November. And for 12 years, or for many of those years, he was the only Reformed pastor in the whole country. And he's been in the States for a couple months, and he says it's been so refreshing visiting the church in Kentucky and coming to our church here to be around people of like mind, to know that there's more. There's more people like him. And so he's felt somewhat isolated, but thankfully we've met Pastor Jorge, who's come and presented to us, and that through the seminary that is being established in Ecuador, that these precious doctrines and the truths of scriptures are being taught to many, many, many pastors in Ecuador. And now, if I'm not mistaken, there's maybe 5 churches. Could be more, could be a little bit less. I'm not 100% sure that God has raised up, and through this school, this could turn into a dominating, if you would, the whole country. And that's what our desires is that God would raise up more pastors like Pastor Eddie, and that the gospel would be preached throughout all of Ecuador. I am thankful for him and for his kindness, his hospitality, his love, his passion for the truth. And so if y'all would come on up, let me pray for you and Taylor, and come up. And Taylor, you can give us a more formal introduction of his church and or the city he lives in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have your messengers, you have your men. And dear Lord, we pray now for Pastor Eddie and his wife and his church. Lord, we pray even now as he's going to be opening up the word to us, that you give his heart, inflame his heart to the truth that he'll be preaching. I pray that the Holy Spirit will empower him. I pray, dear Lord, the Holy Spirit would come and give us ears to hear. Dear Lord, we're thankful, dear Lord, that you are at work throughout the world. And here, Lord, we can be connected with Ecuador through Pastor Eddie. Lord, bless him and bless this morning service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, just to give a little bit more of a formal introduction for Pastor Eddie. He is a dear friend of mine. We've had a lot of time to be able to spend together in Ecuador. I've stayed a few of the times we've gone to Ecuador, we've stayed in his home. Whenever we traveled to Guayaquil, it's about 5 hours from where we are in Santo Domingo. And so, as Brother Jeff was saying, he came to the Doctrine of Grace in the Dominican Republic. And then whenever he returned, he started a little Bible study in 2002 of a little group, and then they formed themselves as a church in 2006. And at that time, as far as we know now, they were the first Doctrine of Grace preaching church, first Reformed Baptist church in Ecuador at that time. Whenever my friend Jorge came to the Doctrine of Grace, that happened only about 5 to 6 years ago. So Pastor Eddie has a few more years of experience in the Doctrines of Grace than anyone else that we're working with, and so he is a mentor to a lot of students there. He has invited most of our students to the seminary program that we have. Almost everyone who comes from the southern part of the country somehow was invited by Pastor Eddie. And so he is really doing a great work mentoring young men who want to be pastors. Their church will be ordaining their first co-elder in the year to come, early in the spring of next year. And they've grown a lot since then. They're celebrating their 12th anniversary this year. And now, at the end of the year, they're hoping to be able to add 10 more members to complete about 70 members total of their church. Their church is called Covenant of Grace Bible Church, or Iglesia Biblica Pacto de Gracia. And so they are such a blessing and such a privilege to have them here. Just one more thing. He has a desire that he and I have been talking about. I've been praying about how to help him in this. So I want to just express this desire to you and just to pray for that, to think about that. And we're open to ideas about how to do this. So he wants to, as Brother Jeff mentioned in the prayer time, offer a course, an English course of teaching English to the people there. Brother Jeff mentioned the desire to help pastors or help men to be able to access good books by learning English so that they can read good theological books. But one of the main desires is to be able to open this class up to the community and be able to teach people English, but the primary goal is to be able to evangelize the community. So the goal is to have a Bible-based English course. So the examples that we're using are from the Bible. The examples that we're using are from good theological works where we can use these as examples. And then after going through the basics, maybe we go through the Gospel of John and do kind of like an exegesis course, but looking at English grammar instead of Greek grammar. And so that's something that he has had on his heart. I remember probably the first main trip that we went, he expressed this to me, or the first or second, I think maybe the time whenever Brother Jeff was there back last year. And so pray for him, pray for that desire, pray for the Lord to open up doors for us to be able to do that there in Guayaquil. Guayaquil is the biggest city in Ecuador. They have more people than Arkansas. So Arkansas has, it's about 500,000 people less than the city of Guayaquil. So I invite you, brother, le invito, hermano, que venga. And so please show mercy upon me as I'll be translating for him and
morning.
Buenos dias.
So much introduction.
There's so much introduction.
Gracias, Pastor Jeff.
Thank you, Brother Jeff.
Por la cálida invitación.
For the warm invitation.
El próximo viernes voy a cumplir 2 meses de estar en los Estados Unidos.
This coming Friday, it will be 2 months that I've been in the United States.
Y vengo de Owensboro y en verdad que me he sentido como en casa.
So I came from Owensboro, Kentucky, and since I got here, I've felt like I'm at home.
De sentir el amor de Cristo a través de los hermanos.
And to be able to feel the love of Christ through these brothers.
Y esa preciosa reunión que hubo ayer en casa del Pastor Jeff.
And that precious meeting that we had yesterday in the house of Brother Jeff.
No fue la excepción.
It was not an exception to that.
Hay un grupo de hombres que estudian los planetas y los astros.
There is a group of men who study the planets and asteroids.
Ellos utilizan un aparato especial para poder verlos.
And they use a special device to be able to see them.
Y lo ven a larga distancia.
And they can see it from a far distance.
Pero hay otro grupo de profesionales.
And there's another group of professionals
que usan un equipo diferente.
That use a different type, different instruments.
El que usan los astrólogos es un telescopio.
That which the astrologers use is a telescope.
Un cirujano oftalmólogo como el doctor aquí presente.
Or an ophthalmology surgeon or other type of surgeon.
Usan un microscopio.
They use a microscope.
Yo también uso un microscopio.
I also use a microscope.
Cuando opero pacientes, no puedo operar con un telescopio.
Whenever I'm operating on a patient, I can't operate with a telescope.
Yo necesito ver las cosas de cerca.
I need to be able to see the things up close.
Y lo que veo es magnificado.
And what I see is magnified.
Y puedo hacer cirugías seguras.
And I can do safe surgeries.
Cada vez que estamos operando, usamos el microscopio y los astrólogos usan el telescopio.
So every time that we do an operation, we're using the microscope and the astrologers are using the telescope.
¿Cuál es la diferencia?
And so what's the difference?
El lente.
It's the type of lens.
El lente es algo especial.
The lens is special.
La iglesia yo creo que debe tener un lente también.
The church also should have a special type of lens.
Un lente para cerca.
A lens to see up close.
Y un lente para ver de lejos.
And a lens to be able to see far away.
Si tenemos un plan esta semana.
And so if we have a plan for this week.
Para la iglesia.
For the church this week.
Vamos a atender a los niños, una reunión con los jóvenes o con las mujeres.
We're going to have a special group with the children. We're going to have a group for the women.
Vamos a usar un microscopio.
We're going to use a microscope.
Pero si queremos ver la iglesia a 30 años.
But if we want to see the church in after 30 years.
Vamos a usar un telescopio.
We need to use a telescope.
Un lente diferente.
A different type of lens.
Así que todo depende del lente que nosotros usemos.
And so everything depends upon the type of lens that we're using.
Y yo creo que en esta mañana podríamos empezar haciendo un ejercicio de imaginación.
And so I want to begin this time this morning using a type of an exercise in imagination.
Ahora, yo quiero que tú pienses cómo será la iglesia bíblica de la gracia, esta iglesia, de aquí a 30 años.
And so I want you to think, how will be Grace Bible Church, this church, in 30 years?
Piénsalo.
Think about it.
Los que tienen 30 años tendrán 60.
And so those who have 30 years now will have 60 years. They will be 60 years old then.
Los que tienen 10 tendrán 40.
And those who are now 10 years old will have 40 years.
Los que tienen 60 tendrán tal vez 90.
And those who are 60 years old now might be 90.
Tal vez algunos ya no estén aquí.
And it's possible that many of you won't be here.
Pero ¿cómo será esta iglesia de aquí a 30 años?
But what will this church look like after 30 years?
¿Qué tipo de iglesia será en el 2048?
What type of church will it be in 2048?
¿Cómo será esa nueva generación?
What will the new generation look like?
Bueno, el Salmo 78 debe ser de interés para los padres que tenemos hijos.
And so Psalm 78 should be of interest for us who are fathers or who are parents.
Para hijos que tenemos bajo el mismo techo.
And those children that we have under our very roof.
Debe ser de interés para los miembros de la iglesia.
It should also be of interest for the members of the church.
Todo aquel que ama genuinamente al Señor Jesucristo,
all of us who genuinely love the Lord Jesus Christ,
ama también la iglesia.
We also love his church,
su pueblo,
his people.
El que no ama a su iglesia se engaña a sí mismo.
Those who do not love the church are deceiving themselves.
Si cree que ama al Señor y no está amando a la iglesia, se engaña a sí mismo.
If he thinks he loves the Lord, but he's not loving the church, he's deceiving himself.
Y todo aquel que ama al Señor, ama a su iglesia.
And all of you who love the Lord, love the church.
Y esa persona está interesada en la nueva generación.
And these people are interested in the new generation of the church.
Quisiera leer con ustedes el Salmo 78.
So I would like to read with you Psalm 78.
Pero ese salmo es uno de los salmos históricos en las Escrituras.
This is one of the historical psalms in the scriptures.
Y es el salmo histórico más largo de todos.
And it's the longest historical psalm in the Bible.
Así que no vamos a leer todo el salmo.
And so we're not going to read the whole psalm.
Vamos a centrarnos solamente en los primeros 8 versículos.
So, but we're going to focus in on the first 8 verses.
Brother, can you read, please?
Yes. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them so to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God.
Acompáñenme en oración por un minuto.
Please join me in prayer for a moment.
Padre Santo, venimos delante de tu presencia.
Holy Father, we come before your presence.
No por lo que somos en nosotros mismos.
Not because of what we are in ourselves.
Nos presentamos delante de ti con temor y temblor.
But we come before you in fear and trembling.
Por lo que tú has hecho en nosotros.
Because of what you have done in us.
Gracias por habernos adoptados.
Thank you for adopting us.
Y por ser hijos tuyos.
So that we could be your children.
Gracias por tu Santo Espíritu quien mora en nosotros.
Thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells within us.
Ahora que tu palabra va a ser expresada.
I pray that your word will be expressed.
Yo te ruego que caiga en buena tierra.
And that it would fall on good ground.
Y pueda germinar y dar fruto.
And so that it could bring forth much fruit.
Al 30, al 60 y al 100 por uno.
And 30 and 60 and 100-fold.
Bendice a tu pueblo en esta mañana.
Bless your people in this morning.
Te lo suplico.
And we beg you.
En el único nombre que hay salvación.
In the only name in which there is salvation.
Que es el nombre de Jesucristo.
Which is the name of the Lord Jesus.
Quien es nuestro Señor.
Who is our Lord.
Y nuestro Salvador.
And our Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Mi primer punto es que es la voluntad de Dios que su pueblo se esfuerce por alcanzar a la próxima generación.
My first point is that it is the will of God that his people exert themselves in order to reach the next generation.
El capítulo 78 del libro de los Salmos, los primeros 4 versículos.
The first 4 verses of this psalm, Psalm 78 in the book of Psalms.
Presenta a 3 generaciones.
It talks about 3 different generations.
Está hablando de la generación de los padres.
It talks about the generation of the fathers.
Ellos ya no estaban.
And they're no longer here.
Estaban allí los que estaban presentes con sus hijos.
And there were those who were present along with their children.
Había la generación de los padres, los presentes y los hijos.
There was the generation of the fathers and their children.
Esa presente generación debía de enseñar a la generación venidera.
So this present generation has the duty to teach to the coming generation.
Lo que recibieron de sus padres.
That which they had received from their fathers.
El versículo número 4 dice algo muy interesante.
Verse 4 says something very interesting.
Por favor, léelo.
Their children. It says, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done.
El salmista aquí no está diciendo nuestros hijos.
The psalmist is not saying here, our children.
Él dice, sus hijos.
He says, their children.
El salmista no está pensando como padre de familia únicamente de sus hijos.
He is not thinking as a father of his house, primarily in his own children.
Él está pensando como un miembro de la generación presente.
He is thinking as a member of the present generation.
En aquel momento, él piensa como alguien que está viendo a los hijos que están creciendo.
He is in that moment thinking as somebody who's a member of that present generation, thinking about the children that are coming up in the next generation.
Y que tiene la responsabilidad de transmitir la instrucción a la generación futura.
And someone who has the responsibility of transmitting that knowledge that they receive to the coming generation.
Así que en estos primeros cuatro versículos hay tres generaciones.
And so in these first four verses, we have three different generations.
Pero en el versículo 5 y 6,
but in verses 5 and 6,
el salmista añade una generación venidera.
The psalmist adds another coming generation.
Son los nietos.
The grandchildren.
Ayer me pude deleitar con oír el testimonio del hermano
Perry,
que tenía 17 nietos.
Yesterday I had the privilege of getting to know a brother and hearing his testimony of how he has 17 grandchildren, Brother Perry.
Es una buena oportunidad.
This is a very good opportunity.
Hay niños que están creciendo.
There are children that are growing.
Hay una nueva generación que viene.
There is a new generation coming.
Yo me deleité ver tanto niño aquí.
I love to see so many children here.
Me encantó ver eso.
It was such a joy to see that.
Pero aquí hay dos generaciones más que serían alcanzados por la instrucción de los padres.
And so here we see two other generations that are going to be reached by the teaching of the fathers.
No solamente los hijos, pero también los nietos.
So not only the children, but also the grandchildren.
Y lo que vemos aquí es que nuestra preocupación debe ser por los niños.
And so what we see is that our concern ought to be for the children.
Los niños que hoy están entre nosotros.
The children that are now in our midst.
Sean hijos o no.
Whether they are children or not.
Sean nietos o no.
Whether they're our grandchildren or not.
Sean nuestros o no.
Whether they be ours or not.
Dios desea que los miremos y pensemos lo que el Señor nos dice hoy.
But the Lord wants us to look at them and to see them as He is teaching us today.
Que ellos pongan toda su confianza como niños en el Señor.
That they, as children, would put all of their confidence, all of their trust in the Lord.
Pero no solo eso, sino que también sean equipados.
Not only that, but also that they would be equipped.
Para que esos niños en su tiempo puedan enseñar a la generación que viene.
So that these children, in their appropriate time, could also teach to the next generation.
Que puedan contar a sus hijos o a tus nietos lo que tú les estás enseñando.
So that they could teach to their children or your grandchildren that which you are now teaching to them.
Esa debe ser nuestra preocupación.
This ought to be our concern.
Como iglesia, nuestro trabajo debe ser hecho aquí.
And so as a church, this is where we need to focus our work.
Con miras a las generaciones que vienen.
With a look to the coming generations.
Oye lo que ocurrió en los tiempos de Josué.
Listen to what happened in the time of Joshua.
Tú sabes, Josué fue quien reemplazó o sucedió a Moisés.
You remember that Joshua was the one that replaced or came after Moses.
Josué fue un gran hombre.
Joshua was a great man.
No fue como Moisés.
He wasn't like Moses.
Pero fue un gran hombre.
But he was a great man.
Temeroso de Dios.
He feared God.
Valiente.
He was valiant.
Amaba al Señor.
He loved the Lord.
Y en el tiempo de él, la gente buscó a Dios de corazón.
And during his time, the people were seeking after the Lord.
Pero se olvidó de hacer una cosa.
But he forgot to do something.
No instruyeron a sus hijos.
They did not teach their children.
Jueces 2, del 6 al 10.
Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through 10 says, when Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his own inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel.
Dice el versículo 7 que el pueblo sirvió al Señor todos los días de Josué.
In verse 7 it says that these people served the Lord all of the days of Joshua.
Pero el último versículo, el versículo 10, nos dice que se levantó otra generación después de Josué.
But in verse 10 we see that another generation after Joshua arose.
Que no conocía al Señor.
That did not know the Lord.
No sabían quién era Dios.
They didn't know who the Lord was.
Yo no quiero que así crezcan mis nietos.
I do not want that this be the way in which my grandchildren are
no
raised
quiero
up.
Que así crezcan mis hijos.
I don't want my children to be raised like this.
Yo debo de trabajar.
I need to work.
Y debo trabajar intencionalmente.
I have to work intentionally.
Tres generaciones fueron suficientes para ver el impacto que tuvo en las generaciones venideras el no buscar al Señor.
So it only took three generations to see the impact of coming generations not being taught to follow the Lord.
Y luego apartarse del Señor.
And then they left the Lord.
El pueblo de Israel fue un desastre en la época de los jueces.
The people of Israel was a disaster in the time of the judges.
¿Cuál fue la causa?
And what was the cause?
Lo que una generación no hizo o dejó de hacer.
What one generation didn't do or stopped doing.
Leamos el versículo 11 al 14 de Jueces 2.
Let's look at the following passage in verses 11 to 14 in Judges 2. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them. And he sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies so that they could no longer withstand their enemies.
Qué triste que la ira del Señor se encienda sobre un pueblo.
How sad it is to see that the wrath of God would burn towards a certain people.
Que la gente pueda decir, 30 años atrás, esa iglesia era esforzada.
That a group could say, 30 years ago, this church was working hard.
Tenían comunión.
They had fellowship together.
Había mucho amor.
There was mutual love.
Era fiel y temerosa a Dios.
It was faithful and it feared God.
Pero mira a sus hijos.
But now look at their children.
Mira a sus hijos.
But look at their children.
Mi punto dos.
My second point.
Los padres son los responsables primarios de cumplir con este deber.
The fathers are the primary ones responsible with fulfilling this duty.
Leamos el versículo 5 y 6 del Salmo 78.
Let's look at Psalm 78, verses 5 to 6. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children.
Con el hecho biológico de tener hijos, viene todo un paquete.
With the biological fact of having children, comes a whole package.
Incluyendo la responsabilidad de criarlos en la disciplina y amonestación del Señor.
Which includes the responsibility of raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
La iglesia puede ayudar.
The church can help.
Debe ayudar.
And it needs to help.
Pero la iglesia no va a sustituir el deber de los padres.
But the church can never be a substitute for the responsibility of parents.
Deuteronomio capítulo 6, versículo 4 al 9.
Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Dios ha diseñado la familia para ser un lugar de enseñanza.
The Lord has designed the family to be a community of teaching.
Querramos o no, siempre estamos enseñando en casa.
Whether we realize it or not, we are always teaching something to our children in our home.
La familia es la primera escuela donde crecen nuestros hijos.
The family is the first school that our children attend.
Esa es la escuela más importante en el mundo.
It's the most important school in the world.
Y no existe un contexto más apropiado para enseñar sobre Dios que la familia.
And there's not a more appropriate context for teaching about God than in the family.
Dios quiere que convirtamos la familia en un salón de clases.
The Lord wants us to turn our families into classrooms.
Dios nos ha contratado a los padres.
The Lord has hired the fathers.
Desde el momento en que nuestras esposas salen embarazadas,
at the very moment in which our wives are pregnant,
hemos sido contratados.
The Lord has hired us.
Y vamos a dar cuenta por ese contrato.
And we're going to have to give an account for that appointment.
Fuimos contratados para ser su principal maestro en la escuela de Dios.
You were hired as the principal teacher in the school of God.
¿Por dónde empieza el padre?
But where does he start? Where does the father start?
Amando a Dios y su palabra.
Loving God and his word.
Deuteronomio 6, 5 y 6, lo que leímos hace un momento nos dice que estos hombres que enseñaron a sus hijos.
Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 6, which we just read a moment ago, says that these men who teach their children.
Eran hombres comunes y corrientes.
They were common and regular guys.
No tenían una maestría en divinidades.
They didn't have a master's of divinity.
No eran pastores.
They weren't pastors.
No tenían un PhD.
They didn't have a PhD.
Y no tenían el THM. ¿Cómo es?
They didn't have a THM.
No, eran personas comunes y corrientes.
They were common, regular guys.
Sin títulos, sin doctorados.
Without degrees, without doctorates.
Quienes habían pasado 40 años en el desierto.
And they had only spent 40 years in the desert.
Pero ellos tenían que enseñar a sus hijos.
But they still had to teach to their
lo
children.
Lo que sabían de Dios.
What they knew of God.
El Torah en ese tiempo.
What they had learned in that time.
Lo que habían oído, lo que habían visto.
What they had heard, what they had seen.
Lo que los padres enseñan a los hijos es lo que ellos aman.
What the fathers and the parents teach to their children is what they love.
Dice la Escritura que de la abundancia del corazón habla la boca.
The Scriptures say that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Querido papá.
Beloved father.
Si tú amas al Señor de todo tu corazón.
If you love the Lord with all your heart.
Eso es lo que vas a enseñar a tus hijos.
This is what you're going to teach to your children.
Pero si tú amas las películas de Hollywood.
But if you love Hollywood movies.
Y ellos están viendo.
And they are watching.
Ellos están aprendiendo de ti.
They are learning from you.
Si tú amas el rock and roll.
If you love rock and roll.
Y ellos escuchan lo que tú escuchas.
And they listen to what you listen to.
Eso es lo que ellos están aprendiendo.
That's what they're learning.
Si tú amas la oración.
If you love to pray.
Y ellos te ven orar.
And they see you praying.
Si ellos ven cómo tratas a tu esposa.
If they see how you treat your wife.
Tú estás enseñándole a ellos.
You're teaching them.
Y ellos están aprendiendo.
And they're learning.
Por lo tanto, lo más importante que la iglesia puede hacer por los niños.
And so therefore, the most important thing that the church can do for the children.
Es proclamar una visión de Dios y nutrir a los adultos.
Is to proclaim a vision of God and to teach and instruct the adults.
En la sabiduría de las Escrituras.
To nurture the adults in the wisdom of the Scriptures.
¿Qué se requiere para hacer esa tarea?
What is required in order to do this duty?
Amar a Dios y tener su palabra en el corazón.
To love God and have his word in our hearts.
Deuteronomio 11, 17 al 21.
Deuteronomy 11, 17 to 21 says, Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens, so that there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruit, and you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth.
Queremos levantar una generación bendita.
Do we want to raise up a blessed generation?
Convertamos la familia en un aula de clases.
Then let us turn our families into classrooms.
Dios está interesado en la próxima generación.
God is interested in the next generation.
Y los responsables primarios de esa tarea somos nosotros.
And the primary ones responsible for this duty, for this job, is us.
Así fue como obró Abraham.
This is how Abraham worked.
Abraham, en Génesis 18, del 17 al 19.
In Genesis 18, 17 to 19, it says, "The Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him.'"
Dios ve a Abraham como su amigo.
God sees Abraham as his friend.
Dios dice, no solo él es mi amigo.
God not only says that he is my friend.
Me gusta lo que él va a hacer.
But I like what he's going to do.
¿Qué era lo que iba a hacer Abraham?
And what was Abraham going to do?
Él sería el responsable de enseñar a su esposa y a sus hijos que guarden el camino del Señor.
He was going to take on himself the responsibility of teaching his wife and his children to keep the way of the Lord.
Yo me pregunto si Dios dice lo mismo de nosotros.
I ask myself, would the Lord say the same thing of us?
Si estamos invirtiendo tiempo cada día en instruir a nuestros hijos.
Are we investing time each and every day to teach our children?
Que estamos haciendo nuestro mejor esfuerzo.
Are we making our best effort?
Por enseñar a nuestros hijos en los caminos del Señor.
In order to teach our children in the way of the Lord.
No es suficiente traerlos a la iglesia.
It's not sufficient to merely bring them to church.
No es suficiente comprar cosas para ellos.
It's not sufficient to buy things for them.
Lo más importante es cuando compartimos de Cristo y su palabra.
The most important thing is whenever we share with them of Christ and of his word.
Proverbios 22:6.
Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it."
Tú dirás, ¿y qué es esta promesa?
And you might say, well, what about this promise?
Bueno, esa no es una promesa.
Well, that's not a promise.
Es un principio.
It's a principle.
Es decir, algo que sucederá cuando nos comportamos de esa manera.
That is to say, it's something that will happen if we behave in this way.
Cuando instruimos a nuestros hijos.
Whenever we teach our children.
Proverbios 1:8-9.
Proverbs 1:8-9 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck."
Este texto bíblico presupone que el hijo reciba instrucción.
This biblical text is presupposing that the child is receiving instruction.
Proverbios 22:15.
Proverbs 22:15. "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him."
Este texto nos hace ver que nuestros hijos vienen defectuosos desde la fábrica.
This verse teaches us that our children come defective from the factory.
Cuando nacen vienen mal.
Whenever they are born, they come out bad.
Son pecadores.
They're sinners.
Necesitan de Cristo.
They need Christ.
Como nosotros.
Just like us.
Y esa es una afirmación que Dios dice en este texto.
This is an affirmation that the Lord gives in this
Nuestros
text.
Hijos no son angelitos.
Our children are not little angels.
No son un papel blanco que se contaminará con este mundo cruel.
They're not like a blank sheet of paper that is contaminated by this dirty world.
El Salmo 51:5.
Psalm 51:5. "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, And in sin did my mother conceive me.
David nació en iniquidad.
David was born in iniquity.
Pero aún en el vientre de su madre, ya era un pecador.
But even in the womb of his mother, he was already a sinner.
Efesios 6:4.
Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
La responsabilidad primaria en la crianza de los niños no fue dada a la iglesia, sino a los padres.
The primary responsibility in raising up children was not given to the church, but to the parents, to the fathers.
Hay iglesias que han transitado en este camino y se han levantado gloriosas en la tierra.
There are many churches that have walked this path and they have risen up glorious.
Pero asimismo han desaparecido.
But also they have fallen away.
Yo no sé cuántas iglesias se cierran en los Estados Unidos cada año.
I don't know how many churches close their doors every year in the United States.
Traté de averiguar eso hace poco. No pude hacerlo.
I tried to figure that number out, but a little time ago, but I couldn't figure it out.
Pero fueron iglesias fieles en su momento.
But they were faithful churches in their time.
Pero no instruyeron a sus hijos.
But they did not teach their children.
Y desaparecieron.
And they disappeared.
Ahí está la iglesia de Éfeso.
There's the Ephesian church.
La iglesia de Esmirna.
The church in Smyrna.
Y las otras iglesias que mencionan las escrituras en Apocalipsis.
And the other churches that the Bible mentions in the book of Revelation.
Y mi último punto.
And my last point.
¿A qué nos referimos cuando hablamos de alcanzar a la próxima generación?
And so what are we referring to whenever we say we want to reach the next generation?
La pregunta es, ¿qué es lo que estamos llamados a hacer?
And so the question is, what are we called to do?
Yo creo que es compartir el conocimiento necesario de las Escrituras.
That this duty is to share the necessary knowledge of the Scriptures.
Para que nuestros hijos aprendan a amar a Dios y confiar en Él.
So that our children can learn how to love the Lord and to trust in Him.
Y para que estén equipados de compartir el mismo legado a la próxima generación.
So that they would be equipped in order to share the same legacy with the next generation.
Mi hija cuando era pequeñita se cayó y se fracturó el brazo.
My little girl, whenever she was little, she tripped and she fractured her arm.
Cuando la llevamos al médico, vimos la fractura y pusieron un yeso.
And so whenever we went to the doctor, they saw the fracture and they put on a cast.
Y ella estaba recibiendo todo en su mente lo que estaba ocurriendo.
And so she was going, receiving everything in her mind, thinking about everything that was going on.
Cuando llegamos a casa, nos dijo a Tanya y a mí.
And whenever we got home after that, she said to me and my wife,
¿por qué a mí?
Why did this happen to me?
Y nosotros vimos una oportunidad para hablarle de Cristo.
And so in that, we saw an opportunity to speak to her of Christ.
Y le dijimos, pudo haber sido peor, pero el Señor te guardó.
It could have been worse, but the Lord kept you.
Pudo haber sido grave, pero es algo sencillo.
It could have been something severe, but it's actually something simple.
Ahora podemos dar gracias a Dios.
And so instead, we can give thanks to the Lord.
Así que después, cuando fue creciendo, tuvo otros accidentes.
And later, whenever she was growing up, she had other accidents.
Y ya no, nunca más volvió a decir, ¿por qué a mí?
And she never came back to saying, oh, why me?
Ella entendió que podría ser peor.
She understood that it could have been worse.
Pero ahora sabía que Dios la había guardado.
But she knew that the Lord had kept her.
Nuestros hijos necesitan conocer acerca de la soberanía de Dios.
Our children need to know about the sovereignty of God.
Dios ha hablado en las Escrituras.
God has spoken in His Word.
Dios sigue hablando a través de las Escrituras.
The Lord continues to speak through His Word.
Y todo lo que Él ha dicho en las Escrituras es importante.
And everything that He has said in the Scriptures is important.
Es trascendental de tal manera que debe repetir su enseñanza.
It's so important that it has to be repeated and taught and proclaimed.
Debemos de enseñarlo, proclamarlo.
We need to teach it. We need to proclaim it.
Lo que Dios dice acerca de la familia, así es.
What the Lord says about the family, there it is.
Lo que Dios dice acerca del aborto, así es.
What the Lord says about abortion, there it is.
Lo que Dios dice acerca de la condición en que se encuentra el hombre, así es.
What the Lord says about how man in the state in which he finds himself, there it is.
Y la Biblia dice que el hombre en su condición natural está muerto.
And the Bible says that man in his natural state is dead.
No está herido.
He's not injured.
No está en cuidados intensivos.
He is not in intensive care.
Está muerto.
He is dead.
Solamente tendrá vida cuando Cristo venga y le dé vida abundante.
And he will only have life whenever Christ comes and gives him abundant life.
Eso no pertenece a nosotros.
This does not belong to us.
Eso es una obra de Dios.
This is a work of God.
Es una gracia.
It is a grace.
Nuestros hijos deben saber eso.
And our children need to know this.
A veces ellos crecen pensando que son cristianos.
A lot of times they grow up thinking that they're Christians.
Eso es muy peligroso.
And that's very dangerous.
Muy peligroso.
That's very dangerous.
Nuestras iglesias en Ecuador.
Our churches in Ecuador.
Están repletas.
Are full.
De falsos cristianos.
Of false Christians.
De falsas conversiones.
Of false conversions.
Porque crecieron en hogares donde papi y mami eran cristianos.
Because they grew up in homes where their father and their mother were Christians.
El Salmo 78:7, si lo puedes leer, por favor.
Psalm 78:7-8 says, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God.
Esas obras que se mencionan en el Salmo 78:7 no es la obra de Abraham.
This work that the psalmist is mentioning here is not the work of Abraham.
No es la obra de Daniel, ni de David, ni de Elías.
It's not the work of Daniel or David or Elijah.
Fueron grandes hombres.
They were great men.
Pero es la obra de Dios.
But this is the work of God.
Y ahí es que la nueva generación debe poner su confianza.
And this is where the new generation needs to place its hope.
En lo que Dios puede hacer.
In what God can do.
Y en lo que Dios es realmente.
In what God really is.
No es solamente dar una lección bíblica a nuestros hijos.
It's not merely to give a Bible lesson to our children.
Sino también dar testimonio nosotros delante de ellos.
But also to give a testimony to them before God.
La parte final del Salmo 78, versículo 7.
At the end of verse 7 in Psalm 78.
Dice que debemos guardar los mandamientos.
It says that we need to keep his commandments.
Ahora bien, nadie se salva por guardar los mandamientos.
And of course, nobody is saved by keeping the commandments.
Sino por lo que Cristo ha hecho en nosotros.
But it is by what Christ has done inside of us.
No somos salvos por lo que nosotros hacemos.
We're not saved by what we do.
Somos salvos por lo que Él hizo por nosotros.
But we're saved by what he did for us.
Somos salvos por confiar en Él, por obedecerle.
We're saved by obeying him in faith.
Y si hemos nacido de nuevo, vamos a perseverar hasta el fin.
And if we have been born again, we will persevere to the end.
Nuestros hermanos en la fe son nuestra auténtica y verdadera familia.
Our brothers and sisters in the faith are our true family.
Y esa familia se ayuda mutuamente.
And this family helps each other.
Ayudan a los niños de esos creyentes.
They help the children of other believers.
Aunque esos niños todavía no formen parte de la membresía.
Even though the children now are not part of the membership of the church.
Aunque los niños no sean miembros, cometemos un error si nos limitamos a verlos como meras visitas.
Although the children are not members, we commit an error if we only see them as merely visitors that come every Sunday.
Decía un predicador que esos niños son pupilos amados.
One preacher once said that they are beloved pupils.
Son pupilos amados de la comunidad del nuevo pacto.
They're beloved pupils of the community of the new covenant.
Si somos una familia,
and if we're a family,
los hijos de mi hermano deben importarme.
The children of my brother ought to be important to me.
Los hijos de mi hermana deben importarme.
The children of my sister ought to matter to me.
Deuteronomio 4:10.
Deuteronomy 4:10 says, how on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and they may teach their children to do so.
En el Nuevo Testamento solo hay dos textos que nos hablan a los padres acerca de la crianza de los hijos.
In the New Testament, there are only two texts that speak to us about the raising of children.
Efesios 6 y Colosenses 3.
Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3.
Uno se pregunta, ¿y por qué tan poco?
And so we ask ourselves, why so little?
Esto es muy importante.
This is something that's very important.
Bueno, porque la Biblia no es un libro de paternidad.
But of course, the Bible is not a parenting book.
Pero si nosotros queremos ser exitosos en la vida cristiana,
but if we want to be successful in the Christian life,
o en nuestra vida común,
or in our common lives,
debemos conectar el evangelio con la vida.
We need to make a connection between the gospel and the in our lives.
El evangelio con el trabajo.
The gospel and our work.
El evangelio en el matrimonio.
The gospel and our marriages.
El evangelio en las luchas y aún en las tentaciones.
The gospel in our fights and our temptations.
Si dejamos fuera el evangelio, es un fracaso total.
And if we leave the gospel to one side, it is a total failure.
Así que lo que compartimos a los niños no debe ser entretenimiento, sino instrucción.
And so what we need to share with our children is not mere entertainment, but instruction.
¿Qué mensaje enviamos a nuestros hijos cuando venimos a la escuela bíblica?
No,
sí. ¿O qué mensajes enviamos a nuestros hijos cuando venimos a la iglesia?
What type of message are we sending to our children whenever we come to church?
O cuando no venimos a la iglesia.
Or whenever we don't come to church.
Yo me quedé sorprendido hace 3 semanas atrás.
3 weeks ago, I was very surprised by something.
El día jueves fuimos a visitar a un matrimonio, a unos hermanos en Owensboro.
On a Thursday, we went and visited one of the families in the church, one of the couples.
Ella estaba embarazada.
And she was pregnant.
Tienen 3 hijos.
They had 3 children.
El que estaba en el vientre era el cuarto.
And the one in her womb was the fourth.
El jueves la visitamos.
Thursday we met with them.
Y el viernes dio a luz.
And Friday she gave birth.
El domingo la vi en la iglesia nuevamente.
And in church on Sunday I saw her again.
Con sus 4 hijos.
With all 4 children.
Y yo la vuelvo a ver. Y me sorprendió verla.
And I was so surprised to see her.
Pero más me sorprendió cuando vi que sus hijos estaban recibiendo la instrucción cristiana.
But what surprised me more was that her children were receiving the instruction of the Word of God.
Ella tenía mucha justificación para no ir a la iglesia.
She had a lot of justification for not going to church.
Para quedarse en casa.
To stay at home.
Recién hace 2 días dio a luz.
Just 2 days ago, she had given birth.
Pero le interesaba la instrucción de sus hijos.
But the instruction of her children mattered to her.
Por eso debemos recibir a los niños con alegría.
And so we need to receive children with joy.
¿Recuerdas cuando ese texto que dice Marcos 10, del 13 al 16?
You remember what the text in Mark 10 says, verses 13 to 16?
¿Sabes que la enseñanza que Cristo estaba dando en ese momento, mi Señor, era una enseñanza que necesitas oírla nuevamente? Léela.
And so what the Lord is teaching us in this text is something that we need to hear again. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them.
¿Tú recuerdas de qué estaba enseñando Cristo?
You remember what Christ was teaching, talking about?
Del divorcio.
He was talking about divorce.
Y los niños se acercaron.
And the children were coming up to him.
Dijo, no los detengan, no los estorben, déjalo que vengan.
And he was saying, don't stop them, don't keep them away, let them come.
Jesús se indignó con los apóstoles que trataban de impedir que los niños llegaran a él.
It says that Christ was indignant with those who were not letting them come to him.
A pesar de que parecía una enseñanza fuerte.
Just in case maybe he was going to teach something strong, something that they couldn't hear.
Me encantó ver hoy día en la mañana los niños y los adultos aquí.
I love to see this morning all the children along with the adults here.
Ismael y Agar.
Ishmael and Hagar.
Son expulsados de la tienda de Sara y Abraham.
They are sent out, cast out from the camp of Abraham and Sarah.
En el camino llora el niño.
But in the way, the child begins to cry.
Su madre Agar clama.
And Hagar, his mom, begins to cry out to God.
Dios oyó al niño.
But God heard the voice of the child.
Dios le hizo bien a Agar por el niño.
And God did good to Hagar because of the child.
No al niño a causa de Agar.
Not to the child because of Hagar.
De hecho, Dios bendijo después a nación.
And so, as a matter of fact, God blessed him and gave him a great nation.
Pero ese es otro tema.
But that's another theme.
Ya estoy terminando.
And I'm already time to finish.
Josué capítulo 8, 34 y 35.
Joshua 8, 34 to 35. And afterward he read all the words of the law, and the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, and the women and the little ones, and the sojourners who lived among them.
Oyendo la ley entera.
They were hearing the entire law.
Sin aire acondicionado.
Without air conditioning.
Sin esos asientos.
Without these comfy seats.
Era el desierto.
It was a desert.
Nehemías 8, del 1 al 3.
Nehemiah 8, 1 to 3. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law.
Cuando se leyó esta palabra, fue desde el amanecer hasta el mediodía.
And whenever they read this word, it was from morning to midday.
Pero aquí no dice niños.
Here it doesn't say children.
La predicación no es acerca de los niños.
The sermon was not about children.
La predicación es acerca de lo que Dios realmente quiere.
The preaching was about what God really wants.
Y lo que, y la responsabilidad que los padres tenemos conforme a la voluntad del Señor.
And what the responsibility that we fathers have before the Lord.
Así que estaban los padres y las madres.
And so the fathers were there along with the mothers.
Pero el texto también nos dice que y los que podían entender.
But the text also says, and those who could understand.
Los niños entienden.
And the children understand.
A temprana edad.
From an early age.
En Segunda de Crónicas 20:13.
In 2 Chronicles 20:13 it says, meanwhile all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children.
¿Cómo nuestros hijos nos ven adorar al Señor?
How do our children see us worshiping?
¿Por deber o por deleite?
As a duty or out of delight?
Cuando estamos en la presencia del Señor.
Whenever we're in the presence of God.
Cuando leemos las escrituras o le cantamos.
Whenever we read the word of God and we sing it.
No debe ser algo mecánico.
It shouldn't be something mechanical.
Debe ser un deleite en Dios.
It should be a delight in the Lord.
Y nuestros hijos deben de percibir eso.
And our children ought to be able to perceive that.
Algo importante en el ejemplo que damos a los hijos.
And something, an important aspect of this example that we give to our children.
Es cuando estamos enamorados de Dios y lo demostramos en la adoración.
Is whenever we are in the dwelling place of God and we are worshiping Him.
No podemos dar lo que no tenemos.
We cannot give to them what we don't have.
Así que adorar juntos va en contra de la fragmentación contemporánea de la familia.
Worshiping together goes in contrast with the contemporary fragmentation or the breaking apart of the family.
Nuestros hijos deberían vernos adorar.
Our children need to see us worshiping God.
Ellos aprenden y entienden.
They understand and they learn.
Asimilan el resto.
After seeing the rest,
o el resto Dios lo hace.
And the rest that God is going to do.
Entonces nosotros vamos a esperar en la casa del Señor reverencia.
And so they need to see us worshiping the Lord, and the Lord has to do the rest of the work. But we need to teach them to have reverence in the house of God.
Respeto por las ancianas.
Respect for the old ladies.
Respeto por los pastores.
Respect for the pastors.
Respeto por los diáconos.
Respect for the deacons.
Respeto por los que sirven.
Respect for those who are serving in the church.
Respeto unos a otros.
Respect for each other.
Quiero traer una palabra de aplicación.
So I want to give you just one last word of application.
¿Qué se espera de los miembros de una iglesia?
What is expected of members of a church?
Número uno.
First point.
Que hagamos sentir bienvenidos a los niños.
That we make the children feel welcome. They should know that there is a group of adults that love them.
En segundo lugar,
in the second place,
que entendamos la diferencia entre madurez y rebeldía.
We need to understand the difference between immaturity and rebellion.
Son dos cosas muy diferentes.
They are two different completely different things.
Hay cosas que los niños no lo pueden hacer.
There are things that children can't do.
Por su inmadurez.
For because of their immaturity,
por su corta edad.
Because of their small age.
Pero ellos entienden.
But they do understand.
En cierta ocasión estábamos en la iglesia.
At one time we were in the church.
Mi esposa y yo tenemos cuatro hijos.
My wife and I, we have four children.
Vivíamos en ese tiempo en República Dominicana.
And we were living at that time in the Dominican Republic.
Nuestro último hijo nació allá.
Our last son was born there.
Pero el segundo,
but the second one,
el marón,
the second one, one of our sons,
muy inquieto,
is very active. Very active.
Pero nosotros teníamos estrategia para sentarnos.
But we had this certain strategy in order to sit down.
Cogíamos un asiento,
we would choose a seat.
Poníamos al más inquieto en una punta.
We would put the most active on one side.
Luego iba yo.
And then me.
Otro inquieto.
And then another, a very active one, another very active
mi
one.
Esposa.
My wife.
El otro.
And then the other one.
Y ahí los teníamos controlados.
And then in this way we had them all controlled.
Pero el más inquieto estaba a mi lado y en un momento yo lo había dado instrucción que en la iglesia debía estar quieto.
And so at one point in the sermon there was giving a time where we all needed to be very quiet, and he was trying to move around. And so we had given him a little page so that he could color. And every time he heard the word God, he needed to put a little sign.
Pero en un descuido se levantó.
But at one moment he got distracted.
Dio unos cuantos pasos.
He took a few steps,
y me quedó viendo.
And he turned back and started looking at me.
Es como que me decía, aquí estoy.
And he was saying, look, here I am.
No me vas a coger.
You're not going to grab me?
Yo solamente lo miré.
And all I did was look at him.
Ya estaba predicando.
And they were already preaching.
Yo me levanté, él me corrió, y lo llevé al baño.
And so I got up, and he started running, and I took him to the bathroom.
Ustedes saben lo que pasó.
And so you all know what happened after that.
Y ahí le dije, no te vuelvo a bajar porque te vuelvo a dar.
And so he said, I'm not going to take you back. I'm going to continue to give to you.
Voy a repetir lo mismo.
I'm just going to repeat the same thing to you.
Lo senté al lado mío.
And so you're going to sit on my side.
Después de cinco minutos volvió a hacer lo mismo.
And then 15 minutes later, he tried to do the same thing.
Lo volví a llevar al baño.
And we went back to the bathroom.
Ya sabes lo que pasó.
And of course you know what happened.
Lo hizo la tercera vez.
And so I did it to him the third time.
Y lo hizo una cuarta vez.
And he also did it even a fourth time.
En la cuarta vez, dupliqué el trato con él.
And the fourth time, I doubled the punishment.
Nunca jamás lo volvió a hacer.
And never again did he go back to doing it.
Ellos recuerdan eso.
And they remember that.
creo que tenía 2 años y medio, 3 años.
I believe he only had 2 or 2.5, 3 years.
¿Cuántos años tenía, mi amor? 5 años.
The wife
Cinco
says 5 years. He was 5 years old.
5 años. Él entendía.
And he understood.
En tercer lugar.
In the third place.
Ayudemos con amor a los padres.
We need to help with love the parents.
Que tienen dificultades con sus hijos.
That have difficulties with their children.
Tengo un último texto que yo quiero leerlo.
So I want to. I have one last text that I want to read to you.
Y está, y eso fue una visión futura de lo que Juan vio en la isla de Patmos.
And this is a vision of the future that John saw on the island of Patmos.
Yo quiero que sepas esto. Fue Dios quien le mostró eso a Juan.
I want you to know that this is something that God showed to John. Revelation 7, 9 to 12, which we just read this morning. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." I want you to imagine with me this multitude that's there. There are women and adults and their children. And imagine if you were the instrument of God, that you contributed so that these children could be there. It's a multitude that nobody can count. They are worshiping Him who lives for ages, forever and ever. There is a party in heaven. They are delighting in the Lord. And there are these children. I want to ask that you would pray for one of my children and that you would have them in your heart before we leave. Out of our four children, 3 of them are believers. And I have one who is not.
Sin embargo, hay algo que no entiendo.
But now I understand something.
Hay muchas cosas que no entiendo realmente.
Of course, there are a lot of things I don't understand.
Él no ha hecho profesión de fe.
He has not made a profession of faith.
Pero predica el evangelio en la universidad.
But he preaches the gospel in the university.
Lleva amigos a la universidad, a la iglesia.
He brings his friends to church.
Se reúne con amigos en la universidad.
He meets together with his friends in the university.
Conoce nuevos amigos.
And he, whenever he meets new friends,
habla de Cristo.
He talks about Christ.
Y me llama.
And he calls me.
Papá, ¿dónde estás?
Dad, where are you?
¿Qué pasó?
What happened?
Es que quiero que vengas a la casa, que tengo unos amigos y quiero que le hables el evangelio.
I have a few friends here in the house and I want you to come here and talk to them about the gospel.
Él empieza a hablar, pero cuando se queda sin argumento, se para.
And so he begins to talk, but whenever he stands there without an argument, he just stops.
Y me pide ayuda.
And he asks my help.
Llego en 20 minutos.
And so I get there in 20 minutes.
Pero no ha hecho profesión de fe.
But he's never made a profession of faith.
Pero habla de Cristo.
But he talks about Christ.
Le ruego que oren por él.
I ask you that you would pray for him.
Para mí es un dolor.
For me, it's a pain.
Como padre, saber que tengo un hijo que no conoce al Señor.
To be as a father who has a child who does not know the Lord. We're going to pray. Lord, thank you so much for your grace.